During the 1700s, thousands of French settlers were expelled from the northeastern region of North America and were forced to return to France or resettle in various other areas. One of the most popular destinations was the then Spanish colony of Louisiana. Over the following century, these recently arrived French and the area's Native American cultures blended into what we now call Cajuns. Although, bloodlines and customs were not the only thing that ended up mixing together. Legends of a shape-shifting terror also took form from the shared beliefs of both groups. An unholy beast that stalks the swamps and bayous with an uncontrollable thirst for blood. The creature has many supposed beginnings: a witch's curse, the soul of an unbaptized child given to the swamps to be raised by alligators. The origins of the beast are as murky as the waters of the bayous themselves. This case file joined the theorists as they laissaient le bon temps rouler in their search for the Rougarou.
Good morning, Theorites, and welcome to an AM edition of Alien Theorist Theorizing. I'm Sleepy B.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
I'm not sure I'm awake yet.
It's not that early, but
it's an odd one for us. This is the first time we've ever done an official case file in the morning.
I haven't had one beer.
We're on the caffeine. It was a good plan to do the case file at the end of a weekend of just drinking early in the morning with the fatigue fully set in. This was a good plan all around. I'm glad I came up with this. I feel like it's going to be our best case file ever.
It was our impromptu pod weekend. We didn't plan nothing, and we just drank and played 5 hours of D&D.
Yeah.
Very productive.
It was good. What are we talking about today? What are we even doing here?
Rougarou.
I honestly, when I first heard this, just by name Rougarou, I was like, oh, we're talking about some, are we getting Byron on? Because we're talking about some like Australian monster. And they're like, no, it's in the States. And I'm like, yeah, but it's called Rougarou. And they're like, and it's French. I'm like,
what?
Who named this?
Sounds like Scooby-Doo named it.
Yeah.
Rougarou!
Well, the Rougarou is actually like a portmanteau, I believe. It's just like a changing of the name of Loup-garou, which is French for werewolf. This creature is a pretty solid staple of Cajun and Creole folklore. Mostly Cajun communities down there. It's really based around, it's really just a Cajun werewolf is what it is.
Cajun werewolf. That.
It's just polite. It's polite. It's got some manners, little higher taste for the fine things.
It's a little suave, you know,
a little suave, laid back.
Maybe has a deck of glowing playing cards that it can throw and explode.
Yeah. This September temperature is giving me the horribles. As he dabs his fur with a white terry cloth.
So the Rougarou is also kind of referred to as like the Cajun boogeyman. And we've talked about this before during our boogeyman episode, that it's kind of a lot of the legend and folklore that surrounds it is like cautionary tales or ways to kind of keep people or mostly children in line. One of the ways that it was purported for you to become a Rougarou was if you were a Christian who didn't observe Lent for seven years in a row.
Catholic Christian.
No, because Catholics observe Lent.
What is Lent anyway?
It's with the shit in the dryer.
Right.
Yeah. If you don't clean your dryer.
How could I forget?
In 7 years. And it doesn't catch fire, you turn into a Lugaroo.
Yeah, that's the point. It doesn't catch fire.
That's how you know if you're visiting the home of a Rougarou. So always check their dryer, their lint trap.
That's why you always clean the lint trap. That's where you give up something for 40 days, right?
Right. It's usually traditionally like a time of fasting. It's very similar to Ramadan. Like, it's just like, it's a lot of fasting and giving up something or giving up a comfort of some sort. Most people, that's how people serve.
This is the loosest curse of all time. Cause Catholics must even know this is bullshit, this Lent. Cause they're like, listen, you got to do it at least once within 7 years or you'll be cursed. But you know, the other times you don't have to do it. Just, you got to do it. You got to observe Lent at least once in 7 years. Cause they're like, I'm not doing this shit every year. Once is seven or you get cursed.
Some versions of the myth involve witches, and that witches are able to curse a person to become a Rougarou, and this spell remains in place for like 101 years is the number that I came across the most. And it is only transferred to another person. So transferred and given, I guess it's something that you give to the next person becomes a Rougarou after they draw another human's blood.
Wait, I thought it was 101 days, but it's 101 years?
No, I thought it was 101
days. Oh, sorry, 101 days.
Yeah, oh, yeah, dude, magic. You're trapped as a Rougarou for 101 years?
But it doesn't sound that, like, honestly, it's not like a werewolf where it's like, it doesn't, by all accounts, it doesn't really sound like you're out of control like a werewolf where it's like, you're just like, run, everyone, I'm changing. It's like every night you're just like, you like take off your top hat and just like slowly morph and you're like, ooh, I'm a wolf now for like the next 12 hours. Oh.
Would you look at this? I've suddenly become the big Rougarou. Guess I'm going to go outside and get me some blood.
Can't beat that one.
Yeah, I imagine it would seem to be you want to stay out of the way of any noticeably hairy men. Wearing silk cravats and velvet jackets at night. Well, that might also identify a person as a Rougarou.
There's like, just a quick side tale of this, because I'm like, it sounds like in some of the tales, like the Rougarous can speak and talk with people. And like you said, Dan, like a way for the curse to get passed on and the person cured is if that person in Rougarou is cut with a knife or cut with a silver blade. And then that person will turn back into a human. And the person who cut them now holds the curse of a Rougarou. And if they tell anyone about it for the next year and a day, the curse will happen upon, like, they will then take the form of the Rougarou. So, like, I was like, what the fuck is, you got these.
Why kill the Rougarou?
You got suave ass beasts walking around the swamps being like, I dare you to cut me. Why don't you just try it?
I read, there's that one, and I also read one that if it just looks at you, it could pass the curse to you.
Just with a side eye?
Just a quick glance. If you make eye contact with a Rougarou, it can pass its curse.
Why I never.
So if you want to avoid becoming a Rougarou, one of the most common ways to keep a Rougarou out of your domicile, apparently, is that you need to place 13 objects. People mentioned pennies specifically, but also rocks and other types of like mundane objects were referred to, because apparently when you become a Rougarou, you lose the ability to count past 13 or past 12.
This is the thing. I don't understand. Like, when I was reading this, I was like, who wrote that? Who came up with that part of the myth? It doesn't make any sense to me. You got this suave ass Cajun werewolf walking around and he's like, oh my God, is that 12 pennies I see there? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Is a Rougarou also have like
6,
OCD?
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Oh, there's another. What comes next?
Why? Now God, that what? Just happened to be mighty confusing.
let me restart here for a moment. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9, 10, 11, 12.
Something's wrong here.
Oh my Lord, I seem to have found myself in quite the predicament.
So wait, they have.
Let me start again. 1.
Okay, the rest
two.
Of the podcast is going to be Braden attempting to count to 13.
Can't do it. Rougarou. So they have OCD.
Braden can't do it either, apparently. So we know that Braden's also Might be a
reason. That's how I keep Brayden busy when I'm setting
Strike
up.
Strike one, Brayden.
I keep Brayden busy by setting up by just placing 13 objects on the table.
Yeah, and I'm like, huh? What? My, oh my. Like, I don't understand that. I'm like, he's got OCD that he's got to count. He's like, if I see anything bunched together, I need to count.
We talked about this on like vampires. We talked about in vampire folklore where they do have some type of, or their behavior is marked by some type of OCD where if you throw out objects, yeah, whether it's grains of rice, could be, you know, coins or things like that. If you throw them out, or what was the other one? Seeds or something like that. If you throw it out in front of them, they feel compelled to sit down and count all of them. Of course, vampires apparently are superior to Rougarous and they can count all of them, but they can get past 13. But Rougarous, so I mean,
I don't know, Zell. Nice. They can't get past 13.
I get to 21 and I lose.
But here's my question, Dan. So say Sam, I'm a very skeptical, like I'm a very scared person. I'm concerned about a Rougarous. So I'm going to have 13 pennies in my pocket.
All times.
At all times. Ready to just, wah! The old
just
penny
throw. Just jingling everywhere you go.
So, you know, at night I'm walking down, you know, in the back, in the swamps as I do.
Often. Right?
Strike two, Brayden. Wandering swamps and can't count past 13.
And I happen upon this half wolf man who's like, I dare you to cut me. And I'm like, I reach my pocket in the panic of seeing this thing. I just grab for the 13 pennies. I grab 11 and I throw them.
You're fucked.
Does he just look at me and go, that's 11, motherfucker. You're done. Or can I still
pocket change?
Yeah.
Well, I think if you can chuck the remaining two before he counts to 11, you're good.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I got you. I got you now.
I mean, why not just have a whole bunch in your pocket? There are like 40.
I'm going to have to bring back the cargo shorts. I'm walking around fully loaded. Just to spray.
$20 worth of pennies in your fucking pants.
Yeah, man.
That's great.
Buddy, if you think 13's going to fuck him, throw 50. Guy's going to be there for 6 years.
Oh, my. I've never.
So traditionally, you know, I mentioned that this is a... the evolution of this myth seems to originate from like 16th century France, where the loup-garou, a werewolf, was usually blamed for everything. Apparently, you could blame. It's like, well, meat spoiled at night. Up, oh, loup-garou did it. Up, oh, somebody stole something. Loup-garou did it. Got the herpes. Loup-garou did it. Like, it's just, it was kind of their form of, you know, just witches at some point. So now, you don't really have a lot of confirmed sightings of Rougarous. Like, it's mostly about people saying, like, I saw something. It could have been the Rougarou, right? It just seems to be an explanation for something that is unknown, or that you don't know what you saw deep in the swamps of Louisiana.
You've seen something with dark fur in the bushes moving. It's fucking Rougarou.
That's a Rougarou.
Gotta be.
God be goddamn Rougarou.
One of the, I guess you could put it in the category of photographic evidence, is what is known apparently as the De Ridder roadkill photo.
Yep.
And the De Ridder roadkill photo is was taken by Barbara Mullins sometime in 1996. And people have claimed that this body or this carcass that was found on the side of the road that is seemingly unidentifiable is a body of a Rougarou. So when you take a look at it,
let's pull it up here.
I'm pulling it up here, and
you're watching the live stream.
Oh, goddamn!
So those of you who aren't watching the live stream, the picture is just like it. I mean, it's roadkill. It's a lump of fur on the side of the road,
and it's tiny. Like it's not big.
Well, so there's nothing in the picture to kind of compare it. There's no size compare. There's nothing in there for size.
Well, there's grass, right? Yeah. There's like grass, so you can see that. But my thing is, I'm like, as I'm looking at that, I'm like, is that what you turn into? Is that, if that's a Rougarou, you turn into this little short? So now when I was thinking of this like hulking beast coming at me, being like, cut me, you've got this cute little cuddly thing that comes out wearing a little top hat and a hat, and he's like, well, good evening, sir. It's nice to see you. And you're like, who said that? You look down, it's just this tiny, tiny little dog.
Yeah, so if you're watching the live stream, we got it up. It's It looks like a giant rodent.
Yeah.
On the side of the road, but you can't really make out any
it's
features.
Roadkill.
It's roadkill. And the girl who said, the girl who found it said it was like a, looked like a size of a, like a St. Bernard.
Right. That's what she says. A lot of people who have looked at the photo, people who are natives of Louisiana, theorize that it's possibly what's known as a coipu or a nutria, which is a type of aquatic rodent that lives in that same area. It looks similar to a beaver.
Yeah, I could see that.
I could see that too. Yeah.
They're actually native to South America, and they were brought here in 1866 by the fur trade, which I thought was pretty neat. It's a little weird little fact.
Well, good old humans.
So I mean, it could be one of those, or like a muskrat or something. It kind of looks like that.
Yeah, it looks giant rodent.
I think it's definitely a ragu.
Right, Rigaroo. It could definitely be the big ragu.
Yeah, listen here. Just because I am very little does not mean I am imposing. I will bite at your ankles. I do declare.
Are rougarous? What if can kids get turned into a rougarou? Does it stay relative to the size? If it's a child, does it become a small rougarou? If it's the mountain, does it become a 20-foot rougarou? Is there variation, or is like you just once you transform, you're always the same size rougarou?
I don't think there's any real consensus on size of what the rougarou is. Maybe 7 to 8 feet. Usually you get to kind of get that
Bigfoot
number
size
around, but it could possibly be dependent on the physical, you know, original physical size of the person who's possessed by the curse of the rougarou. It's a good theory of it if I've ever heard one.
There you go. So,
though
you
know, I am small, child rougarou. I am quite mighty.
So now, within this same area of Louisiana and through, you know, the areas where are populated by Cajun and Creole culture, there's also something that is known as the Honey Island Swamp Monster. Some people might have heard of it. It's been becoming more popular, I feel like, in the cryptid circles. The Honey Island Swamp Monster was a creature that became popular after it was reported in a sighting by one Harlan Ford in 1963. At the time, he was a retired air traffic controller, and he was out with his friend Billy Mills. And they said that they saw this large bipedal creature standing over a dead boar. And it, like, the boar had had its throat torn out.
Shit.
When they found it. So this creature they described having dingy gray hair, had long hair, which coming out from its head, which seemed to kind of obscure some of its face. But they also described what we have heard of before, coming from long haired bipedal creatures that live in the swamp. They described a horrible stench.
Stinky motherfucker.
Yeah, man. He's lurking around in the, you know, that gross ass swamp water. They're coming out there all mossy and sludgy, matted hair. Ugh.
Do they have, because we talked about the skunk ape and like the swamp cabbage. Is that the same? Because that was in the Everglades more, but do they have that kind of, they have swamp cabbage here?
I don't know if they have swamp cabbage. Maybe they're in the same kind of,
same,
I suppose,
kind of ish
ecosystem.
Yeah.
Kind of area, similar environments. But these two creatures sound very similar. So there is the theory that these are perhaps the rougarou is a type of swamp ape. From the reports that I've heard and read about, and most of the ones you see that coming out of like TV shows and documentaries, is that it sounds very similar to a swamp ape, down to the reported sighting of footprints that are left behind, fitting the three-toed description. It's having three toes, and there's also seems to be evidence of like a vestigial toe or something like that on one side of the foot,
like a dew claw.
You also have this idea that some cryptozoologists, when they have looked at these footprints, they have identified that the toes look like those of that would typically be seen on an arboreal creature, like a creature that is used to traveling through the treetops. Able to grasp branches and things like that, which also kind of lines up with some of the sightings of people who have seen reported to have seen this creature in recent years. And they've said that they've seen them either exhibit, you know, extremely capable climbing abilities. They scale up sheer sides of riverbanks and things like that with no trouble at all. Some of them have even reported seeing them in the trees. Like you look up and there's something in that tree that isn't supposed to be there. Some large, you know, hairy creature that's hanging out in a tree and seemingly just...
I'll shut this down right then, now. It cannot be 7 feet tall and that big, swinging nimbly bimbly. That thing would come crashing to the ground every time it got a branch. So I'm like, right then, I'm like, you know, like we looked at the roadkill, it would make more sense to me that the Rougarou is not
a 7 foot monster.
Not a 7 foot monster. It would be a little smaller. Unless what's happening, and you know, this could be very well be the case, that in these dense areas, there's more than just a Rougarou that, you know, lives in these swamps.
Counterpoint. You ever seen a black bear climb a tree? Those motherfuckers rip up trees.
Yeah, but they're not jumping from the tree, from one tree to another, swinging on branches and shit.
Well, maybe the reports are exaggerated. Maybe they just see them in the treetops.
Like maybe, maybe it has some like ape-like attributes, right?
Well, dude, nothing is off the table now that we know that there's that ape testing place in Florida that let apes get out all the time and they head into the swamps. Right? Yeah, swamp apes.
I'm just saying a fucking 400-pound black bear can climb a tree, so I don't think it's unrealistic that...
Yeah, or it could be a juvenile black bear.
Juvenile Rougarou.
Juvenile Rougarou, just like the one juvenile found on the roadkill. Rougarou.
Now, another thing about this case, I mentioned Harlan Ford before. Now, Harlan Ford kind of became a little bit famous for his sighting of the Swamp Island, the Honey Island Swamp Monster. His friend, Billy Mills, who was there and witnessed it with him, had an interview in a 2017 documentary, which they had the interview from 2005, and he reported seeing this thing. Like, he reported seeing what, you know, this black, dingy brown, hairy creature moving through the forest. And so one of the pieces of evidence that this story hinges around is this discovery that they found a Super 8 film, which was in Harlan Ford's belongings after he died in 1980. They found this film, which reportedly shows what they saw that day, or they took footage of this creature.
It's very similar to like the Patterson-Gimlin film. The creature's just a little farther away and a little more not as much in the open.
Right. The creature. So it's a little bit back in the forest. If you watch it, like something is, you obviously see something, right? And it's moving on 2 feet through the trees and things like that. Not through the treetops, but actually in the forest itself along the ground, showing bipedal locomotion and the dark hair, and is definitely what they describe seeing.
All right. So I got that video. So let's play it here real quick, because it's kind of cool. We'll do a little commentary through it. It's a really short video, but here it goes. So we got a creature. Got a Super 8 film. Creature comes center frame.
Yeah, it just walks through.
Humanoid creature walking through. You kind of get a glimpse of him. And he disappears behind the tree, and that's it.
Yeah, that's a hard one
here
for
we go.
Me.
One cause... more time. Here we go. There he is. You get about 2 seconds.
It's too obscure.
3 seconds.
Like, that could 100% be a...
You mean it's hard for you because it could just be any type of black object walking past the woods?
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's not a good enough thing. And there's like, to me, it would be different if there was audio on that too, of like someone being like, by God.
Let's see. I don't know if this audio will play or not. That's as bad. That's a bad
guy
version.
Humming.
Did you hear that? No, didn't you hear the guy say, "Okay, go, walk,
run, no, walk, no, not like that, like we practiced."
Yeah.
Or maybe the reason he never like made that like publicly known that he had that footage is because he did the same thing. He got on video. He's like, "What the fuck was that?" He's like, "I can't. Maybe that's nothing."
Well, except he labeled it fucking Bigfoot footage or some shit like that.
So you think he planned the hoax and then just didn't follow through? He's like, I'll never get away with this one.
Well, funny thing about that is that recently, I think it's about 2016 or so, people have begun to go back and revisit this case. And at least one investigator says that they found evidence that very powerful evidence that this was a hoax. The Honey Island Swamp Monster, at least the footage and Harlan Ford's story, was a hoax. When they went down to the area that they, to investigate, talk to people about Harlan Ford, about the sighting and things like that. Apparently, a lot of his family members and close friends of Harlan, they knew it was a hoax. They're like, yeah, it's a hoax. He even made it. He made something to make those footprints. He made a shoe to make those footprints. And so apparently, and this shoe turned up like during the investigation, this guy tracked down this shoe, which apparently had been purchased by one of the residents of the town at like a flea market or something. And their kid had taken into school as like a show and tell object. And this shoe, it's like to describe it, there's video evidence of this shoe. There's actual, like they shoot a video of this. There's a YouTube video, titled Bigfoot is real Bigfoot Sasquatch sightings in the South. And in the last 15 minutes of the video, there is this, they show you this device, which is obviously something made for a hoax. Like it is a shoe with on the bottom, there's like a carved talon, almost like a talon, three toed talon, like foot. And so you could just put the shoe on and you would, I assume that's how you would do it. You just put the shoe on and then you would walk through the swamp it would probably, more than likely produce these footprints that would look similar to the cast that they have, that they claim are of the Honey Island Swamp Monster, or these footprints that they found in the Louisiana swamps purported to belong to these hairy hominids.
I mean, listen to the lengths that these people went to discredit our boy. Obviously, this whole town and all his family are coming out against him, trying to hide the truth.
Right. I mean, all of this came out after his death. So I don't know. Exactly. Maybe they are trying to discredit it. Maybe somebody else made this and seen those footprints and said, well, we'll just make the shoe and we'll make Harlan look like a big fool.
Hiding God and they're hiding the Honey Island the swamp, skunk monkey.
The swamp's hiding God. Okay. They're hiding God out in that swamp.
So I'd be on the side that perhaps like, okay, maybe Harlan Ford himself had heard of these stories and perhaps perpetrated or had planned on perpetrating a hoax, because we're not really sure if he actually did it, but that doesn't explain the sightings that people have had in recent years, like, in the last couple of years. I mentioned in one film, there was a lady by the name of Deborah Evans Chester. She was a 25-year critical care trauma ICU nurse, and she reported seeing something. She had one of those road crossing sightings. I said she was driving along the road, and she saw this creature get up on the side of the road and walk across, and it had long, long hair hanging from its arms, like not. It definitely wasn't human, but it was walking on two legs, and it was something that she couldn't explain and something that really terrified her, because it's when you see something like this, I would assume it's very hard to process in your brain that you're like, what am I seeing right now? I have no idea. But when she talks about it, she seems genuinely terrified of what she saw.
Yeah. Like those sightings come up a lot with like Bigfoot too. Like, something ran across the road. It was huge on two legs. It took three strides and it went 20 feet. And you're like, whoa, fuck. But in those type of ones, there's no chance to get, like, there's no chance for a video, because you're either driving, or by the time you get your phone out, it's already back in the woods.
And I have a lot of admiration for the people who go out into these swamps and just hang out there. I find it absolutely fascinating that people go out there, and whether it's hunting or whether it's, they just go out there to whether commune with nature and just hang out. I don't know how people do that, because
swamps are 100% haunted at the very least.
If there's any place.
There was one sighting by a man named Steve Crawford, and he was squirrel hunting in the area of the Middle Bogeychito, which is an area there in the Bradley Slough is what they call. And it's inside of a nature preserve. He's out there hunting squirrels, and part of his story,
is it a thing to eat squirrels, or is it just like hunting? Like, is that it? I read that.
I think you can eat squirrels.
No, people in Canada, a lot of people don't hunt squirrels, but in the States, squirrel hunting is like, that's
it's
common.
A thing.
Yeah, it's common.
For what though?
Like, you eat them.
You eat them?
Yeah, like you just, like, you like a rabbit. Like, you fucking get a rabbit and eat it.
You can eat the squirrel. I've heard that the brains are very tasty, though. I've heard that.
Squirrel brains?
Hey.
Well, because they eat a lot. Well, squirrels, apparently squirrel meat, I've never had it, but apparently it's pretty good because all they eat is, or mostly what they eat is seeds and nuts. Hmm. So it makes the meat, like, pretty tasty, apparently.
Could be.
I think, interesting.
I think we're obviously missing out what this thing has to be. I think it's pretty clear.
What's that?
Swamp Thing. Seriously. Swamp Thing takes place in Louisiana. It's fucking Swamp Thing. Perfect.
Well, other than Swamp Thing's not hairy.
He's mossy.
Yeah, always, so what you're saying is it's always dark, so it's exactly. They're mistaken the moss for hair.
It's not hair, it's
some
moss.
Might say it's darker than dark.
The dark dims.
Hard to make dark dims real dark. Yeah. In the swamp.
Swamp Thing. Simple as that.
Well, maybe that's where they got the idea for it. The Rougarou.
So this guy's out here hunting poor little helpless squirrels. And what happens?
Well, he's not. Steve Crawford reported seeing this thing. I found his report very, very entertaining because there was this one question where they asked him, like, where did he see it? And he was talking about, he's like, we were out there camping on the haunted island side. I looked on the Google Maps of, like, where he was talking about this, the middle Bogachito and the Bradley Slough, and there's this tiny little island right there. And he's like, oh, we were camping on the haunted island side. I'm like, what the
He described
fuck?
It as the haunted island?
Haunted island?
The haunted side, yeah.
Is this guy a Zelznick? Like, is he looking for demons and ghosts and trouble? Like...
I don't know.
Maybe that's where it's like the squirrels grow biggest.
Like, that's not what, like, I, when you said that, I was like, oh, is this island named that? Like, the haunted island? So he's like, oh, we're on the haunted island.
No, it's just known as that. I guess.
It's just known because
Google Maps, I couldn't find it.
Because it's fucking haunted. Sweet. And I'm going to go camp there.
It's a tiny little island that's in the middle of this, I guess, this slough, which is like which I learned today is like a side channel or inlet or a natural channel that is only sporadically filled with water. So it's like a little creek mostly when I guess there's water in it, and it goes around this tiny little island. And yeah, I guess that's the haunted island, because I looked on the map, I'm like, that's it, like, that's there's really a little island right there. But the fact that you're like, we're gonna go camp on the haunted island, I'm like, well, that was your first mistake.
You brought it all on yourself.
Yeah,
everything that happens.
We gotta talk more about this haunted island, but let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to KundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, we're talking about Haunted Island.
Talking about this dude who thinks it's a good idea to go camp on a haunted island. If he was like, yeah, we're going to go camp in a haunted island in the middle of a Louisiana swamp. I'd be like, well, okay, yeah, of course you're going to see a Rougarou. No shit.
Well, see, this makes me think that maybe the Rougarou is some sort of like apparition. And that's why it'll elude, you know, maybe it's like some, you see it in the fog, right? It's more haunting because that you don't really hear, like, looking into it, I didn't see too many like attacks, and I guess you don't see any accounts of people talking about it, but I guess part of the curse is if you were to talk about it, you then become the Rougarou. So like you can't, if you were to,
so you see the Rougarou, you can't speak about the Rougarou,
or you'll be,
or you become the Rougarou.
The first rule of Rougarous is don't talk about Rougarous. We all know
right.
Yeah, first rule of Rougarou, don't talk about Rougarous. Yeah. Some people report that some of the tales and some of the mythology has been mixed in from the Native American cultures from that area. Some refer to this creature as Letiche or Letiche, and it was it seems more like a skinwalker.
It's funny because I was telling that to Zell when we were watching some videos last night and stuff. And at one point I turned to him, I said, man, a lot of these accounts and descriptions remind me of, you know, what people say they see at Skinwalker Ranch.
Oh, like an apparition.
Well, these like, you know, these giant wolf men running around, right? These skinwalkers that can change shape, right? Like, to me, when I was reading about the Rougarou and this stuff, like that's what kind of popped into my head right away. I'm like, well, maybe that's, you know, where this is coming from, is like stories like that and tales there, or maybe this is the exact same thing. And just, you know, like Bigfoot goes by many, many names. Maybe this is, you know, we're giving a different name to the same thing.
The same phenomenon.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people do say like Bigfoot and stuff always seems to just appear and disappear. Like footsteps will be there and then footsteps will be gone.
Well, and if you think about skinwalkers, they will change into men, right? And
right.
That also kind of actually lines up with one reported sighting. There's a TV episode of Cajun Justice that I looked up that related to this. And the police officers in this one county were called out to investigate what this man reported. Apparently, he had video evidence. He had a little like iPhone. He had like took some footage with his phone. Couldn't really say anything. You saw maybe like a hairy arm. Could very well have been a gorilla suit, not really sure. But when they try to follow the trail kind of cut off into some grass, like some long grass off to the side. And then they said it just disappeared. Like it's just gone. Like the trail just, like you could see clearly where the grass was pushed down. Of course, this is a TV show. It also looked a little bit scripted. So take that with a grain of salt. But you could see where the trail went, and they said that it just disappeared.
Either the Rougarou can teleport, like, interdimensionally, or it can fucking jump like the Hulk.
Well, there's also people report that it's not exactly a werewolf. It's also, it's more of a shapeshifter, that it can turn into a bird. It can turn into an alligator. It can turn into anything, I suppose.
Getting better.
There's a great story we watched today of this, like, farmer. He's walking out, and he, like, looks into his pig pen. And he's like, six pigs. I only have five pigs. And he turns to walk away and he goes, I only have five pigs. Where'd that other pig come from? And he turns around. And as he turns around, there's just a cow where the sixth pig was. And it's just looking at him. And he goes, the cow was looking at me ominously. As if like you just caught me. Like,
just notice this? And now I'm the Rougarou. Yeah,
you're give me nah, I'm the Rougarou.
Or you're the Rougamoo.
Yeah, Rougamoo. Oh.
So no matter what form the Rougarou's in, if it makes eye contact with you, you're fucked.
My lord, he's going to turn me into a Rougarou. I better call Cajun justice right away.
Tell my camp.
Which grab the Cajun justice phone. Put the Cajun justice signal up in the sky. Get him fucking there ASAP.
I don't know. Yeah. I watched a TV show. It's just like it's Cajun cops mostly. It's what it is.
In my head, I just pictured some people coming in like velvet suits with hats and canes and be like, so what do we have here? Tell us your problem.
You're under arrest for the crime of trying to pass off velveteen as real velvet. A gentleman can always tell the difference.
My lord, as soon as I'm done dabbing my forehead from the sweat, because it is so sweltering, we are going to arrest you.
Cajun justice.
It should take, the beginning of every episode should take place in a courtroom.
Yeah.
And there is white suit just fucking giving his testimony. And that's the first thing I think of when I think of a Cajun
justice. It shouldn't even be in a courtroom. It should be on the front porch of the the front porch of the accused person. They're sitting having a polite.
Your Honor, I am just a humble Rougarou.
It's like, as soon as we finish this,
I don't know
here,
all of these big Lorian words, but I do know that this man made eye contact with me. Therefore, he is a Rougarou.
Listen here. If the foot doesn't match the print, you must acquit.
Yeah. I've been known to be called a creeper of sorts in the night, but that's because I just love creeping in the night.
It is much cooler for me to creep.
So, where'd we leave off?
Can we make
is pretty much anything you want it to be.
Can we make Cajun Justice?
Can we make a spinoff show?
I'm much more interested in the show Cajun Justice, though.
That's all I've been thinking about this whole time.
New case file.
I will tell you right now, it is nothing like what we just did.
That's a goddamn shame. Yeah. They missed a golden opportunity.
Well, it sounds like we got ourselves a new show.
Yeah.
How can we spin Cajun Justice into our own non-copyrighted name?
No, we don't. We're like, listen, we want to do a show called Cajun Justice. And they're like, that's already a show. They're like, no. But listen to our idea. And they're like, God damn, you're right. We'll give you the name.
Just spell it different.
All right. Where were we?
Where did we leave off? Okay. I got lost in the Cajun Justice.
So the show Cajun Justice,
I would say that the Rougarou is probably an amalgamation of all the creepy shit that you find in the swamp. It is just a remarkable diversity of wetlands themselves and swamps and things like that. You kind of forget that so much shit lives in there. You know, you got bears, you've got boars, you've got alligators, you've got large birds, you've got everything in there. You could possibly fucking weird looking catfish that live in there. There's all kinds of
fucking
stuff. That
dinosaurs, everything.
Yeah. Ape people, swamp apes, whatever. There's a lot of shit in there to creep you out and you could see and not be able to explain.
Now, say the legend of the Rougarou, it is a supernatural beast. Is there any, we've talked about if you try and cut it, you might become the Rougarou. Is there any way to protect yourself? Is there any way to kill the Rougarou? What's the lore?
Well, in the lore, it seems that the Rougarou can be dispatched just the same way as you would dispatch anything. Like you can shoot it, you can behead it, you can
hit it with your car, apparently.
Yeah.
So just trauma inflicted wounds can end the Rougarou?
It says like,
yeah, they don't seem to be super naturally hardy or anything, or impervious to any type of like regular firearms or anything like that. If you shoot it or stab it, apparently it'll die just like anything else. If it bleeds, you can kill it.
Well, and it's funny because like the curse, I always think I'm looking at, like when I was looking at it, I was like, it says, you know, the a person who's a Ruguru will have like a thirst for blood, but it doesn't say, like, I never read that it was human blood. So then I was like, okay, well, maybe that's why these things are going into the swamp to look for something to eat, because you don't really see if too many, like, people have been like, and then it attacked me.
Right.
Like, you literally never, there's not one story. So it's like, you just don't want to be a Ruguru, because then I imagine for those 101 days, you're not sleeping, you're up all night, you just got this insatiable thirst for blood, and you're in the woods. Like,
yeah, because there's no stories, like a lot of Bigfoot stories, like Bigfoot's throwing rocks from the at canoes and in the lake, and seems to like,
well, we
want
all know
you out.
Bigfoot's petty. That's why. All right, he's just petty.
Yeah, would you say that to his face, Brady?
Yeah, I will.
I heard Bigfoot watches the show. You're fucked.
But the Ruguru one, it's strange one for me, because there's never any attacks, and then if the curse is to believe that it's after 101 days, it disappears. Or I've even read that it like reverts back to the last person that was a Ruguru. So it's like, if you pass it on and then the other person, like, you get it back. So it's like a never ending.
It's a curse, supernatural curse. God.
That's the fucking worst. Could you imagine? So you like, finally, I'm done with this shit.
You can't
then
kill
you
the Ruguru
get hit with
then.
It again.
You can't kill it. If you kill the Ruguru, it just reverts back to the person before.
So basically, it's like herpes. You just can't get rid of that shit. It keeps popping up when you don't want it to.
But once everyone's a Ruguru, no one's a Ruguru.
Touche.
Just like herpes.
The Ruguru doesn't so much go off of sightings. Like, the folklore doesn't really go off of sightings. It's mostly just relegated to legend and myth. But it's just used as a kind of stand-in to be like, that was the Ruguru. Like, you can, more than a few reported sightings, it was like, it's like, I just saw something I can't explain. It was the Ruguru, or it was probably a Ruguru. Instead of them saying Bigfoot or Skunk Ape, they're like, it's a Ruguru. Ruguru. If you're Cajun, you refer to it as the Ruguru, I suppose.
Right. So it's like the Ruguru is an amalgamation of folklore from different parts of the world, sightings that can't be explained, and also used as a boogeyman at the same time.
Right. So it's like, if you live in the Pacific Northwest and you're familiar with the legend of Bigfoot, legend, the actual creature Bigfoot, you'd be like, you saw something in the woods walking upright, hairy, you'd be like, that's Bigfoot. Whereas if you live in, you know, the eastern part of Louisiana, southeastern part of Louisiana, and you're more familiar with you grew up with legends of the Ruguru instead of Bigfoot, then you would be like, that, so I saw something shaggy, hairy, walking through the woods on 2 feet. I don't know what it was, probably a Ruguru.
Yeah, and it's just in the area. Like, I don't think if someone saw that similar thing in the forests of, you know, outside Kelowna here, I guarantee you they'd be like, it wouldn't, Ruguru wouldn't, it'd be like Bigfoot. Bear. It's just where you are, Bigfoot or bear.
Bear.
So it's like, you can definitely make the argument that it's like, perhaps it's not as, you know, likely that there is some giant 7-foot swamp ape living out there, but people are seeing things. And if they are seeing something, like, what is it?
A fucking ape. Came across, we know they escaped.
Escaped ape.
Escaped ape.
Well, I came across another theory that some, I think it was either, park service rangers or police believe that some of these sightings might be feral humans. Like, they might be not completely feral humans. Like, they were raised by alligators or something, but it's, humans that either have chosen to live as hermits in the wilderness, in the inaccessible swamps of Louisiana, where
so
nobody
you have
would come look for you.
Louisiana swamp Mowglis getting raised by alligators.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's, I mean, gator necessities.
Forget,
I mean, I definitely
about
know
your worries.
That there is probably a sizable number. I mean, it's been reported, and I think there have been actually attempted studies done that have come up with, you know, solid numbers on people who live or who have chosen to live in the national parks of the United States, like deep in the forest, where they just, you know, they have either felt that they have no more need of human interaction, so they just move out into these not so much communities, but they go and live as like real hermits. They just go out there and live by themselves, avoiding humans. And then perhaps some of these sightings are of these people who have just chosen to live in the forest.
In the swamp.
In the swamps.
Yeah. I mean, like, definitely. I have a hard time with Ruger. Like, my final thoughts on the Ruger is that I think this one is, I have no doubt people see some strange shit in the swamp.
Yep.
No doubt. Just like people see strange shit in here. But I'm like, I think the Rougarou is more of a legend and a myth that we've come up with. And it's like we said, it's a boogeyman, because it doesn't, like, there's outside of these, you know, that video, which, you know, is inconclusive to me. I wouldn't be like, that's definitive proof of Rougarou. You could have been like, that's a Bigfoot video. That's a giant bear video. That's a video of an escaped ape. I was like, I don't know what it is. It looks like a giant black object walking through the woods. Could it be a man in a giant suit? Yep. I have no idea. The footage is so bad that you can't tell. But I just think it's more of, as soon as you start putting all these parameters on it, like, yeah, you'll get it if you don't observe Lent for 7 years. So if you get that, then you'll be fine. You just got to observe it once.
7 years is generous.
Dude, that would mean, but so then if, like, as non-Catholic, I'm fine to not observe Lent. It's only if you're Catholic and then don't observe it, you get this curse.
You're already going to hell.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. You don't need to be turned into a Ruger. You don't need to be taught a lesson. You're already fucked.
So then it's like this like specifics for me are just throw me away. I'm like, you know, it's like the fucking 100, you'll have it for 101 days. I'm like, what does 101 have to, like, where did they get that number? Right? Someone just counted. They're like, hey, listen, I was sick for 101 days. That's what you got to wait. And then it's like, you can't, if you see a Rougarou, you can't talk to anyone about it for a year and a day. What if it's a leap year, motherfuckers? Like, how does this work?
We have questions.
Right? As soon as you start adding like numbers and stuff and like the calendar system that we fucking made up, like it's all make-believe, I'm like, then I start to lean that this curse is also just make-believe. Right? Just because of that, like nothing adds up.
You're like, you know, oh, finally, I can tell you about what I saw that dark night in the swamps. And wait, no, it's, wait, what day is it? Oh, God, no. Become a Rougarou.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Rougarou is more of a boogeyman than a potential, like, either like a cryptid, like a, like Bigfoot, a lot of people say, is an actual undiscovered species of hominid, which would make more scientific sense. And it just lives in places that you never go, so no one can ever really...
Well, listen, if the Bigfoot legend was, listen, Bigfoot only comes out on every 36 plus a day. He wanders for 13 hours and 23 minutes is your window to see him. And if you see him and tell anybody about it, you will be cursed with the Bigfoot curse for 100 days, where you will then be Bigfoot and wonder that you'll be like, huh? This is stupid.
Yeah. So I think it's amalgamation of a bunch of different lore cultivated into a boogeyman.
Well, how do you know that's not how Bigfoot reproduces? Maybe it is.
Maybe. Well,
we have no idea. We have no idea. Be like that. We have no clue because we have no evidence or anything.
Bobby Gimmon. He's our man.
We had similar looking one of the fucking whatever.
I was a teenage werewolf, and it's like instead of like slam dunking, you're like walking around town with your cane and well polished shoes.
Oh, that's great.
My dear man, I must. The primal urges of my Rougarou curse have delivered me unto you in order to accost you, as is demanded of my curse.
I do declare you best start running.
But then if you fight the Rougarou and cut it,
then you're
it instantly fails.
You're the Rougarou anyway.
You're then the Rougarou, and the person who was trying to fight you is no longer the Rougarou.
Thanks, bud.
Perfect.
Thank you.
I like the idea, though, that the Rougarou, you, no matter where you are, you turn into a Cajun, deep southern gentleman.
It comes with the accent.
Right. Yeah. sophisticated.
You talk slow.
Yeah, my heavens. Where can a man get a fine wine around here, around these parts?
Tall pitcher of lemonade.
Is it just the AM voice that's giving you that extra rasp?
I don't know, maybe.
Because you're really dropping into it. You might be a Rougarou. One of us could be.
Something's happened here.
Because you sound like a distinguished gentleman of the finest order.
I could quite possibly already be a Rougarou.
Did you make eye contact with any cows in the last 101 days? Oh, wait. If you did, you couldn't tell us about it.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's true. It's first rule.
Why don't we get into a little space news?
What do you want to start with?
The moon's rusting.
Even without liquid water and oxygen?
Yeah, we got to get up there. Bring some
proof
CLR.
That it's made of metal and it is not a real moon.
Yeah, it's a spaceship. We got to get up there, CLR it. Get that rust. You know, rust is not good. It's going to get everywhere. It could be just surface rust right now, but we got to get up there and clean it.
Yep. The moon's infested with something called, how do you pronounce this? Hematite?
Yeah.
Hematite.
Yeah. And has scientists baffled. Hematite is an oxidized form of iron that's found on Earth, but requires both air and water to form. And since there's no liquid water on the moon, people are baffled. So are they saying the moon's eventually just going to turn completely red?
Oh, that'd be dope.
That would be sweet.
Red moon?
Blood moon.
Always blood moon?
Here it comes.
Scary. That means dragons are coming.
Oh, yeah. Could you imagine? Could you imagine the moon turns red and then all these creatures of lore just come to be? It's like Ghostbusters when they fucking, you know.
I mean, it sounds like something that could definitely happen in 2020.
Yeah.
Seems very believable.
Blood Moon 2020. All right.
Anyways, it was found by the Indian Space Research Organization's Chandrayaan 1 orbiter, and it found it at high latitudes around the lunar poles. So I guess it's just going to be top and bottom.
Slowly.
Slowly. Red top and bottom of the moon. I know. What does this mean, though? Does this mean that maybe there is some type of
their best guess so far is that it's caused by the moon kind of pulling off like Earth oxygen, like during times when it's I think they said most of the time, like when it's a full moon, it's like sitting within Earth's what they call the magnetotail.
Okay.
Which is the trailing region of the magnetosphere, yeah. Which is away from the sun. So when it's away from the sun, the solar wind is blocked by the Earth. So that oxygen, which that normally reduces the amount of oxygen that is around, I suppose. And then it from my understanding, it pulls off this oxygen, which mixes with either impact craters from icy comets or things like that. And it just that causes the rust. So far, so if you do that over, they count it like if you did that over a million years, a couple million billion years, which has been happening, then
slowly you get a tiny bit of rust on the moon.
Right.
It's kind of cool. Let's move on to SpaceX says its Starlight satellite internet can already download 100 megabytes per second.
Let's go. Space internet.
Yeah, we got to get space internet. Can we all agree we're all switching to space internet instantly?
As soon as I can, I'm switching.
I think we're required to, as alien theorizing.
I think you have to.
It's a primarily space podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still on dial-up, so it might be a little bit of a change for
you can
me.
Get space dial-up.
All right. I can dig that. Yeah. As long as it doesn't mess with my MSN messenger or anything like that. I'll be okay.
Your Yahoo chat rooms.
ICM. Yeah. Yeah. What was it? ICM? ICQ?
Yeah, ICQ or whatever. Yeah.
Anyways, they're saying they've just started the early testing because they don't have that many satellites up yet, but already 100 megabytes per second, super low latency, and can already run. You can pretty much do anything HD and still have bandwidth left over. So once they get all their satellites up, you're going to see that. You're probably going to get to 1 gigabyte. Like the same as fiber optic cable on Earth, but it's just going to be through satellites.
Everywhere.
Yeah, they're saying at least a couple of satellites are connected with these inter-satellite links, which are informally known as space lasers.
Yeah, it's... Ooh. That's it's the cool. same. It's transmitting light, just like
internet from space lasers. That sounds fucking rad.
Just like fiber optic cable is transporting signal through light. They're just using lasers in space. So, as Tesla always does with everything, just makes everything cooler.
Speaking of satellites in space, we might not even get to enjoy them long because the Pentagon has announced China is amassing. An arsenal of anti-satellite weapons in space, preparing for World War IV to space, where we just blow each other's satellites and create the Kepler effect, where we can no longer leave the planet and we're stuck here, doomed.
Yeah, Kessler effect. They start blowing up satellites, renders us back 100 years communications-wise, rendering space travel moot. So I don't know. I mean, they say that, but I'm sure America's got the same stuff. If China's doing
the craft that they're talking about, are they showing pictures of it? I guess it's on the on one Twitter, a couple Twitter accounts. Like it looks like the craft that the U.S. Air Force launched while back.
Yeah,
X-37B or
the
whatever.
The secret one where we don't know what it was up.
Yeah,
it looks exactly like that. In,
yeah.
so maybe really when they're like, China's doing this, they're like, well, we did it. Now they're just responding.
That's the way it works.
Because it does look like that. You hate to see that. We should just leave the war out of the unknown, and that should be something where I don't know why we need to.
Well, there's the treaty, like, to not militarize space yet. Everyone just is slowly breaking the treaty.
Yeah.
Just a matter of time before we got directed energy satellites that could shoot from space directly at pinpoint target.
Yeah. Just competing Death Stars in orbit. That's not a moon. That's all I had for space news. Do you have anything else?
China lands a reusable spacecraft after 2 days in space. So not too many people have done that.
Mysterious. Yeah. That's the CSS HQ, I think it's called.
Yeah. Try and pronounce that.
Chongfu Xian Hangtian Ki.
Yep. Oh, that was pretty good, actually.
I'm impressed.
It was launched September 4th, and then it came back down September 6th. So quick in and out.
How can you pronounce Chinese better than you can pronounce English? That makes no sense.
I don't know. That's interesting.
Yeah, so that's cool. Now you're starting to see SpaceX's innovation start to seep over into other organizations because they realize reusing the rockets is much better than just letting them drop into the ocean.
Yeah.
So
makes sense.
That's all I had for space.
Yeah, let's end the space news right there.
Do we want? I got a UFO case file of the week. Why don't we fire up the random Tron and?
All right, let's do it. Here
we
go.
See what it shoots out at us here.
UFO. Printer's under the table. You see that? Don't worry, it's coming. All right.
Woof. Got it on my computer.
Get it.
So this person says they speak French, and so it's difficult for them to tell their story in English or else they would have called. So if you have time to read my story, you can, and feel free to put it in your words. Well, I always do because I can't read.
Yeah.
Here's my story. The scene I'll describe took about 20 seconds in all, and small details can be important at the end. I'm from a small town in northern Quebec. On Friday, August 7th, 2020. Oh, this is recent.
Recent, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I invited my mom's boyfriend to my house to look at Jupiter and Saturn with my telescope. They have been together for 27 years now, and my dad passed away 30 years ago. It was about 10:30 p.m., clear night sky. While he was looking up in my telescope, I raised my eyes to the sky, as so often, to look at the stars, satellites, and planes. As soon as I raised my eyes, I see far in the sky two satellites that, with their directions, should be crossing each other in a matter of seconds, like an X. Because I don't see that too often, I started to watch them. As the seconds go by, maybe five or six, they don't cross as they were supposed to. So I started to have the impression that one on the left is maybe turning, but not sure enough at the time. So I'm focusing on this one to see if it's really turning. Again, not sure. They are now parallel. It sure must have been turning. So I continue to focus on the same one, and I see it starting to zigzag. So now I know I'm seeing something special and not satellites. Right when I realize that, I now see moving in my field of view. So I defocus on the one I followed. I see that there are now four lights zigzagging really high in the sky. That's when I told my mom's boyfriend to look. So the four lights are zigzagging, coming towards us, still really high, at a speed I don't know how much faster than satellites. It's when they flew right over us that I saw that it was not just lights. I was able to focus on one and saw that in the middle of the light was a circular object, but too dark to really see something. The light was a round shape too, but it looked to form like a small tail at the rear end. But maybe because of the speed, the light looked like that. Looked to have a reddish color in the light, but maybe mixed with the same color of the satellites when the sun reflects on it at night. Hard to describe the color. It looked blurry a bit. Again, maybe that's because of the speed. The last thing I saw when still focusing on one was what looked like a metallic demarcation, right where the object meets the light at the front of the object. Trying to focus more on that, I never saw it better, so I'm not sure, but it looked like no sound and nothing left behind. Now that the objects flew over us, and I knew I won't have a better look at what I just saw while continuing to have them in sight, I started thinking really hard about the image I had when I had a better view.
Get it? Coronavirus. Coronavirus. Coronavirus.
Woo! Woo!
What?
Ooh. One shorten of orgasm. All right.
That'd be weird. I'm sitting right beside you.
Now that the objects flew over us, I knew I won't have a better look at what I saw while continuing to have them in sight. I started to really think hard about the image I had when I had the better view. And when not over us anymore, they really looked like lights again. Of what I remember, still zigzagging. But as they go further, it was harder to see. We saw them all the way disappearing slowly because they were too far away, not because our view is blocked, so they just disappeared over the horizon. We talked about it for maybe 2 hours after eliminating everything that it could have been, even if we knew it couldn't be anything we know. So the next morning, I'm excited to call my mom about that. So we are talking, and she said to me, "That's funny. Yesterday when we talked on the phone, I really wanted to say for you to look closely in the sky because it's your father's birthday. He will make sure to send you a sign. I never really knew my dad's birthday. I thought it was in July. When I think about UFOs, I think military or extraterrestrial. Never thought about that possibility. The one I believe the less at first, but that stays the most in my mind. The odds of me seeing that on that night with the best witness I could have had for everyone who knows him. The man who takes care and loves my mom for 27 years. The corridor they flew by was the only place they could have passed without my view being blocked by anything. It's impossible. The first time I think I ever invited him alone. Almost didn't that night because I had a big day, but I invited him because I felt I was doing a good action and he loves to look at the sky as well. I really don't understand if we are the only two people that saw those lights that night. At that height, the distance they traveled over a town of 40,000 people and how many other towns. If that's the case, my dad's sign makes even more sense to me. Four lights. My father and three of his brothers have passed away. Or a light for each of his four children. Other coincidences? Coincidences? I don't know. If not a sign from my father, they were heading north by northwest. What's going on in the Arctic? And me seeing four of these in a small town, I don't understand why people still ask in 2020 the questions if UFO exists. So that's my story. He talked to MUFON about it, and they suggested he open a sighting report, which he is now doing. And he says, thanks for the great show, and you guys are the best. So thanks. You know who you are. East Clintwood on Patreon.
Ooh, yeah. Right, cool story.
That was a cool story.
That is a cool story. I like it a lot. It's interesting. I wonder, so if anyone's in, you know, Northern Quebec, listens to this, and you've seen something around these dates, August 4th, when was it? When did I say? Friday, August 7th, 2020 in Northern Quebec. If you listening to this by any chance, and you happen to see these lights and corroborate this story,
let us know.
Shoot us an email. Let us know. We want to know. Did you see it too? Let's hear your accounts. Because maybe if it flew over that kind of town, and it was just strict UFOs, maybe it's there's other witnesses. And if not, if it was some sort of like paranormal, you know, message from his father from the other side, very cool. Either way.
Really cool.
Interesting sighting.
Yep.
What else we got? We got the meat draw.
Got the meat draw.
September.
I can't pull it up on the stream. It just, for whatever reason, Pod Weeks has fucked my whole studio up. So I can't get on the stream, but I'll post the link in Patreon and I'll post it on Instagram.
Yep.
So here's the pinwheel. Here comes the pinwheel.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. 3, 2, 1.
Blasting off, it's spinning. What is it? Cole Barden.
Cole Barden is the August meat draw winner. Cole, we'll reach out to you on Patreon, get your size and your address, and we will ship you some cool ATT.
Get a mystery box from ATT.
Some cool swag from us. That being said, go to our merch site. We got fucking dope ass merch now. We're back on T Public. You can put that shit on everything. We're going to have new designs coming all the time now. We have more freedom to add designs that we didn't on Streamlabs. And you will probably get your stuff you order,
which is a bonus.
Always a toss up.
Which
on
wasn't
Streamlabs.
A guarantee.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And you can find the link at alientheorist.com or socials. Just it's everywhere. You can't miss it. Just search for us.
Don't search it via...
Forget TeePublic.
Don't go to TeePublic and search Alien Theorist. Go to our shit and hit the TeePublic link.
Yeah, go directly to us. Cut out the middleman. Yeah.
Don't be funding Big Shirt. Fund the boys, okay?
Fund Big Theory.
Yeah,
Big Theory.
Exactly. All right, anything else? Before we wrap this one up?
Yeah, I'm going to give a little shout out to the people who decided to go over to patreon.com and subscribe to your favorite podcast to support your boys.
Yeah.
And what a great bunch of people.
Fucking awesome people. Every one of you. We appreciate the support. So this week we have Savannah, Captain Jive, Raquel Vasquez, siblings, Carla Vasquez, Paul Parker.
Everybody with the last name Vasquez is related.
Well, they sound up on the same day. I'm just saying, so seems like they might be related. Maybe not. If not, that's my bad. Just a happy coincidence. Paul Parker, Eric Kaiser, Jessica Edler, Dwan Pasilis, Gavin Shoemaker, Eduardo Gutierrez. And that's it for this week. So thank you very much. If you're supporting the show at $10 or more a month, you get entered into the meat trial, which you just heard being announced. So head over to, you can find that at the same place, website, or go to Patreon, search for Alien Theorists, no problem. We had a theorite of the week, I believe.
Oh, Tim Maitland, is that it?
Yeah. Tim Maitland, yeah. Made us all laugh. We sent each other his comment. He said, he messaged us on Facebook and he's like, fucking McCann, this was Gavin's year.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll have a good chuckle about that.
We're all disappointed that Gavin didn't get his ice time.
Yeah. Got pulled.
So, no, that's that got him Theorite of the Week. If you generally, basically the bar is pretty low. If you send us something on social media that we can post, or you make a comment like that, where we then be like, when there's a comment where one of us will send to all the other ones and it makes us all laugh, you're in the running.
If the comment is screenshot worthy, you're in the running.
You're in the running. And that one got a laugh. We sent that around, had a good laugh about that.
It's good shit. Good shit. Fun. That was a fun skit. It was what people, I think people like that skit. It was fun.
It was good. All right. Is that anything else before we...
No, if you're on Patreon, we'll see you on After Hours.
And as we always say at the end of these podcasts, and keep those eyes on them sexy skies.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.